Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Blog Talk Radio.
Closer Walk Christian Talk Show. I am your host, your Christian coach for life, Stephanie Griffin. How are you today? It is just getting toward the end of the week, everybody. God has brought us through another week. Man, they used to tell us when we were growing, from little people, when you get older, the days are going to fly by. Well, aren't they doing so? Oh, my goodness. I just remember opening up the week. Well, here we are today. We have had a blessed week on a Closer Walk Christian Talk Show. We started off this week with Tamitra Lucas on Tuesday. We had praying for our husband's, I got to get it together, his reputation. And we had Shaquan in the beginning on Monday, and we had praying for his marriage. And we have had a phenomenal week. I tell you, God is so good. I am so enjoying this. I'm like, how did I ever live without the broadcast in all my life? Oh, my goodness. Well, tonight we have our pastor, Kim Brooks, back with us again. We are so blessed to have her back again, and she's going to be talking about praying for our husband's deliverance. So I give God thanks that she was able to join us again, and, you know, we can partake of some of her word yet again. God is good. He has kept her well. So we are really going to light it up here tonight. I am looking so forward to it, and I know you are too. But before we even get there, we have our numbers that I got to give you, 516-387-1358, and that's if your internet becomes unstable or you just can't get home quick enough. Well, then you would be listening anyway, right? Okay. Don't tell nobody I told you that. Okay, but in case your internet gets unstable, becomes unstable, or just cuts off or whatever, you can always call in to listen to us. And if you have a question or a comment, feel free to send us a text at 917 917-659-6084. Again, the number is 917-659-6084. You know, you probably don't call into other radio broadcasts and get this silliness, but I have to tell you, I'm having so much fun. And I just love all of you because you let me have my own fun. I'm here by myself, and I laugh like I'm already in a room with a million people because I am. All of you are out there, and I thank God for you. Please don't ever think that I take it for granted that I've been so blessed to have you wonderful listeners. You know, you keep me pumped. You keep me going. You know, I look at the board and the phones. The phone list is just so long, and it's a blessing. And I just need to be me. You know, I am a pastor, and I've helped to run several companies. I've run my own companies for years, and I've always had to be in a very dominant role. I've always had to be the woman in charge, and it's difficult for a person like me at times because I love to laugh. I love to play around. I love to joke. I love to have a good time. And, you know, a lot of times people don't know that about me because they are used to seeing me in a professional, if you will, arena. But I'm just as professional now. I'm just professional on another level. And I have a good time. I have a good time. I actually suffer with fibromyalgia, so I live in pain. And God is good, so I have nothing to frown about. I'm getting tongue-tied tonight, too. I have nothing to frown about. I just give God the glory over my life, what he has done with me, what he is doing with me, and what he will do as long as he spares my life. I have a lot to look forward to. So if you see me acting crazy, if you hear me laughing, and you just can't figure out what's going on with Stephanie, don't worry about it. I'm not losing my mind. I'm just having fun, okay? So let's talk about his deliverance. Let's get down to the topic tonight. You know, it's this one is a biggie. They're all a biggie, but this one is a biggie because we watch our men go through so much. A lot of times, you know, the women are the front runners, if you will, when it comes to our spiritual and our Christian walk. You know, we've got a little more faith. You know, we go to church a little bit more. You know, we're not so so accustomed to being a little lax about going. You know, some of us do have that husband that kind of spearheads everything, and he's pulling the family along. But a lot of times I'm finding, you know, for our Christian ladies, we're in the forefront of this journey. And we are looking at our husbands, and we're watching them suffer through a lot of different things. And when I say a lot of different things, I don't necessarily mean one person has a whole lot of things. I mean, we have women we talk to. So when you look at it, it's a lot of things that our men are dealing with. They're battling a lot of stuff. They're battling things that they've gone through in their childhood, in their young adult stages. They're battling through things on the job. You know, again, we've got this thing where they're killing men, you know, young guys and things like that, or they're being stopped for no reason. And, you know, so they're battling a lot of things, especially anger. And, you know, we really got to make sure that we stay prayed up about this whole thing here, about them being delivered. Only you know what your husband really needs to be delivered from. And, you know, that's why I kind of put that question out there, you know, in your announcement. And it says, is your husband crying out to be delivered from something? Well, I'm sure the answer is yes, you know. But can you hear the screams? You know, are you so busy being busy that you're not hearing what's going on with him? You know, we have to take a step back sometimes, and we just so busy being mobile and moving all around all over the place that he's suffering in silence, or he is screaming out for help, but yet because of our busyness, maybe with the children, maybe with the household, maybe with the job, the household and the kids, we're kind of missing that. So, you know, the ultimate question that's posed is, who are you screaming out to? So we're going to get our sister Kim on the line with us tonight, and she's going to help us with some of this. And I talked a little longer than I normally do, but that's because I just kind of wanted to say that tonight. Kim, are you there?
I am here. I am here, Sister Stephanie.
How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. How are you?
You can hear my mouth going a mile a minute, child. I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm doing okay, and I thank you for asking. Why don't you reintroduce yourself to our listeners and tell them who Kim, Pastor Kim Brooks is.
Okay. Well, as Sister Stephanie has first stated, I am a pastor, but before being a pastor, I am a servant. And so, you know, it's not about the title. It's just about doing the work that God has called me to do. And I am also a mother of three beautiful daughters, and I have six grandchildren. I'm a wife of almost 28 years.
Wow.
Almost 28 years in August. I'm also a parapro for Detroit Public School System. I am the daughter of Dorothy Hill, and I have two other siblings, one younger, one older. And I just love God's people, you know. To love me is to know me, you know, for who I am. You know, I'm the same person that I've always been. You know, being saved and being a pastor didn't change me from being the person that I am truly on the inside. You know, so, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, I don't, you know, portray to be one person on Sunday morning and on Wednesday. You know, I'm just always the same, you know, because you have to be, you know, a lot of times you find people that they're so heavenly bound that they're no good, you know. And we just have to walk in humility. So, you know, I just humble myself, and I realize that I'm nobody just trying to tell somebody how good God is. So that's who I am. That's who I am.
All right.
And I realize on my best day, my righteousness are a filthy rag. So, you know, that's me.
Alrighty. Well, I kind of said the same thing before I brought you on about just being silly at times. You know, it's funny. I had somebody talking to my sister, told me about a conversation that she had, and she had mentioned something. Oh, they said, "Oh, your sister's a pastor. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness." And we were doing this, and we said that, and my sister said, "Stephanie, oh, you ain't got nothing to worry about," because I'm just who I am. You know, and I understand people. And that's the best part, Kim. That's how you know whether you're a people person. So, you know, in speaking to you, we've always been able to get past the pastor title because we were just regular people to one another. And that's what
that's
makes
right.
this broadcast so special, because you don't have – we're not preaching. You know, we have our platform for quote-unquote preaching, but we're kind of conversing and we're, you know, talking about matters and topics and things like that, and we're identifying with the average women out there, and I think that's what kind of really keeps everybody listening, because it's real and it's coming from the angle in which you spoke about. You know, well, you're just a regular person at heart. You know you have your title, you know what you do, you know who God has raised you to be, but we down to earth, and I love it. That's why I enjoy you ladies so much, because I have never been given the feeling like, oh my goodness, I can't step down off of a platform to talk with you. So I thank you for being who you are. So everybody's got a nice snapshot of who Kim is. And, you know, we're talking about this deliverance thing tonight. And like I said, it's a biggie. And why don't you, you know, sometimes I ask this question, and I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Why did you choose deliverance? What drew you to that particular topic?
Well, I chose the topic about deliverance. First of all, the name of our ministry is Power of Deliverance Restoration Outreach Ministry.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I deal a lot in deliverance and restoration. And because it is a valid and big part of my life, you know, just constantly being surrounded by deliverance and restoration, you know, I don't forget where we come from. And I often think about the deliverance process that took place in my life and in my mm-hmm. marriage, you know, because we weren't always saved, you know. But
okay.
It was God that first delivered me, you know, and which brought on following my deliverance. The Lord blessed my husband to also be delivered.
Okay. Okay. So you spoke about the fact that, you know, let me go back. It's funny because for years, I have been hearing the lingo and the cliche that says, I was saved, but I wasn't delivered from. Now, everybody can take this as they wish, Kim, but I always had a problem with that. Because my thing was, if you're saying that you're saved, I clearly get that you may not have been delivered from a whole lot of things. Because God, we don't just get baptized and then all of a sudden we just are delivered from everything. In other words, I personally don't need that disclaimer. I don't need to hear that you were saved but you weren't delivered, because I know that eventually, as long as you lay your life in front of God and do what he needs to do, let him do what he needs to do with you, that you would eventually be delivered of a whole lot of things. So why do you think a whole lot of people put emphasis on the fact that I was saved but I wasn't delivered from? Help me understand that.
Well, I think that a lot of times, because according to Romans 10:9, which tells us if you believe in your heart that Jesus died and he rose, and you confess this with your mouth, then you shall be saved. And so a lot of times people feel like, when you say, are you saved, you know, then, you know, people feel like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm saved, you know, I'm saved, but I'm not delivered, you know. And a lot of people might not admit that, but the reality of it is that if you have not repented and been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You know, then you really aren't saved, you know, according to scriptural, you know. But yes, according to Romans 10:9, you know, that's a start, you know, to believe, you know, that's mm-hmm. a start in saying, okay, well, I do believe that Jesus died and he rose, you know, okay. And so once you have confessed Christ, now you have to show fruit of repentance, you know, because that's when mm-hmm. repentance comes in and it takes place, you know, because now you have invited Christ into your life. You know, you said, okay, Lord, I was a sinner. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And, Lord, I was this creature, but now I want to be a new creature. You're conscious
right.
about the decision that you're making. You know,
right.
nobody's making you do this. You know, salvation is free. And it's to whoever receives Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So now that, and once you confess, okay, I want to be a new creature in Christ, you know. Now old things are passed away and new things become new, and you begin walking in that newness. Yes, it is a process, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like you grew in grew into sin, you got to grow out of it, you know. So, yes,
right.
it is a process. So maybe in that aspect, maybe that's what people might, why they might say, oh, okay, well, I am saved, but I am still yet working towards my deliverance. Because even after I got saved, you know, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, it was a process. You know, it wasn't something that happened overnight. You know, to be honest, you know, my total deliverance didn't take place until maybe like 6 months. You know, I was one of Satan's good sinners. You know, I did everything that sinners did. So, you know, come on now. I mean, let's just keep it 100 if we can, you know. We're talking about before deliverance,
took place. You know, it doesn't happen overnight for everybody where somebody just gets saved and then everything. Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Everything is thrown in the sea for forgetfulness. God doesn't remember those things anymore. Yes, that's
right.
all true. But at the same time, as far as deliverance, it is a process, you know.
Absolutely.
I had to get rid of the lying. I had to get rid of the smoking cigarettes. I had to get rid
right.
of the playing the lottery and
right.
doing all of the sinful things that I was doing. So, yes, it didn't all. I wish it could have, you know, just went away overnight, but it didn't,
absolutely.
You know. But
absolutely.
You know, you start off as a babe, you know, and you're all new,
right.
you know,
right.
and you have to grow.
Right.
You know, you have
right,
to grow
right.
as you go.
And that's why I said I get puzzled when a person says to me, well, and they're telling me a backstory. We're not talking about current. We're talking about a backstory. Well, you know, that way I was doing that, but I was saved, but I wasn't delivered from that. And like I said, I guess it's who you're talking to, and they don't realize that for Stephanie, I'm right where you are. Everything has to be done in its moderate state. You know, I constantly talk to people and I explain to them. They say, well, you know, such is going on, and why can't so-and-so just, you know, be delivered from that? And I said, all of the deliverance will not be visual, because it's like a branch on a tree. You've got
mm-hmm.
five branches, and each branch has two or three other branches. You got to get rid
mm-hmm.
of. I said God has to start from a certain point, because in order for you to be delivered, if you want to use that word, from something, he has to go from the root of it, from the foundation
mm-hmm.
of it. You can't just swap something, and then when you look back, the stuff is coming back constantly because you haven't dealt with the deeply rooted issue, you know. So it's like when people say, well, you know, people use drugs and drinking and things like that, they're trying to get rid of a memory. Well, you got to
mm-hmm.
you got to go to why they're drinking, why they're, you know, using the narcotic, because if not, then they'll just keep doing it over and over possibly. So I always say to people, for
mm-hmm.
me, you don't have to tell me, and if you know me well, you ain't got to explain to me that you weren't delivered for something, and that's why you were still doing it. Because I clearly get, like you said, it's a process. These are things that we have to go through in order for things to be removed, so delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just going to wake up, we get baptized today, and we're going to wake up tomorrow, we're just going to be different people, because this stuff, like you said, it didn't take place overnight. So it ain't going to take place overnight for it to be gone. We're going to have to take some process. It's going to be some process to get rid of all of that thing. So I don't know. That always puzzled me. But I get from what you're saying, I get it, and maybe they're trying to explain and, you know, explain away why they were still doing it. I don't know. But, you know, like
mm-hmm.
I said, you don't have to. I'm one of the kind of people, Kim, that I really don't hold people in judgment. And, you know, if you will, I don't like to even use that word because it just has such a deeper meaning than people, you know, really understand it to be. But, you know, I don't criticize people for a lot of things that they do, because I realize that that's just what you're going through. You know, certain things I'm like, okay, you really got to be kidding me. But, you know, when you look at things on a mass level, it's like, oh, boy, okay, so we need to be praying for this because and we need
mm-hmm.
to help you work through such a thing. You know, so being delivered is a process, because you have to be a part of that process. Let's talk about that.
Amen. Amen. So explain what you're saying when you say that you have to be a part of the process. Are you talking about for him, for the husband?
Period. We haven't gotten to the husband yet. I want to kind of get
okay.
a little conversation about it, and then we're going to kind of zero in on our husbands.
Okay. So in order to, you know, again, like I was saying, you have to first, it's just like in order for deliverance to take place, the first step is just like when a person realizes that they have an alcohol problem. The first thing that
mm-hmm.
they have to do is admit that I have a problem. The first thing that you do when you go, when you hear people talking about they went to AA or NA meetings, the first thing that they did was say, my name is Kim and I'm an alcoholic. You know, so now the deliverance process can begin. Once you can confess, you know, the Bible says we can confess our faults one to another. And once you can admit that I have a problem and I need some help, you know, this is when the process can begin, because a lot of times people, they don't realize, or they don't want to admit that they have a problem. They feel like, oh, well, you know, I got this under control. You know, I got it together.
Right.
You hear people talking about I'm a functional alcoholic. You know,
right.
If you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic. If you're saved,
right.
You're saved. If you're not saved, you're not saved. You know, let's just call a spade, you know, and just keep it real.
I love talking
like young
to
people
you.
Say, keep it 100, you know. So this is what we have to do. We have to be real with ourselves. And if you are struggling with something and you can't get a grip on yourself, and if you feel like, you know, okay, well, I'm trying, you know, I want to stop doing this, you know, in Romans, you know, it talks about that old wretched man that I am, you know, when I'm willing to do good, evil is always present, you know. So your flesh wants, you know, your spirit, you know, and your mind wants to do the right thing, but your flesh, and the flesh dwells no good thing. So the flesh and the spirit, they're warring against each other, you know, because you want to do what's right, but you can't, because your flesh keeps yielding to the temptation of those fleshly desires, because again, deliverance hasn't taken place yet. And so it takes for you to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. It takes for you to really make up in your mind that, you know, look, you know, I'm tired of yielding to the enemy. I'm tired of giving in to him. I'm tired of making a vow to God and going back. You know, I'm tired, you know, of going on this emotional roller coaster, and every time, you know, I take 2 steps forward, I'm taking 10 steps backwards, you know. So when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of the enemy using you, and you keep yielding to the temptation of your flesh, you know, then, you know, it takes for you to really say, okay, God, you know, I realize that I cannot do this on my own in my own flesh, but I could do all things through you that's going to give me strength, you know. So that's when God can help you, when you're honest and you're real with yourself.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you touched on something, because you're going to have to help me with something else tonight, girl. Okay. Okay, wait. Now. Because I want to get my thought together. Because as you were talking, I was like, oh, I got to ask her this. Okay, so we're talking about being delivered. So we're talking about a matter of, okay, you know what, coming to the realization that we don't want to do this particular thing anymore. And you brought up drinking. And so let's say I don't want to drink no more. I'm not drinking anymore. And now it's been 10 years. I haven't touched a drink. I don't want to drink. Yes or no? Can I declare deliverance from if I'm 10 years deep in not using alcohol? Can I declare deliverance from that?
If you've been clean for 10 years?
If I've been clean for 10 years.
Okay.
Can I emphatically say that I'm delivered from being an alcoholic?
I would say yes. If it's been 10 years, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I would say yes, too.
I would think so.
Okay. So both of us are on that same page. Here's what I have a problem with. I'm standing up in an AA meeting, and I want to get up and I want to talk. I'm going to still stand up and say, hi, my name is Stephanie and I'm an alcoholic, but I haven't used alcohol in 10 years. I have a problem with this, Kim. I got a problem with this. I have been delivered from this vice. God has cleaned me up. I have no desire for it. If I look at it, I'm disgusted. I don't think about it. I don't want to. But just somebody wants me to talk tonight. Steph, you've been delivered, you know, you've had your, but when you stand up to go along with the AA's process and the way they run things, you want me to stand up and say, hi, my name is Stephanie, and I'm still not. No, I'm not, Kim.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I'm not. And I know people. I know people who, and I get the premise. I get the premise. I get the premise of, okay, you know what? You know, you're speaking because, like you said, you know, well, this is something that I like to do at one point, blah, 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 blah. But no, no, I'm not going to tell the enemy that I'm still yearning for this thing, that I haven't touched it, and I have no desire to touch it. I have a problem with that. And I said to the person, I said, you get up and you say what? And he said, no. I get up and I say, I'm an alcoholic. I said, then where is God's deliverance in that? Then how am I declaring also victory over the alcoholism if I'm still standing and I'm telling the enemy and all of his people, oh, yeah, I'm an alcoholic to appease you and your process? Am I crazy, Kim?
No, you're not. But you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You
right.
know, and, you know, words have power. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to declare. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say. So if you've been redeemed, you know, and you are walking in the fruit of being delivered, you know, and that and old things are passed away and new things have become new.
Yes.
You're a new creature in Christ. You know, I'm not looking back in my simple past.
Right.
You know, if I look back,
right.
I'm going to look back at where the Lord has brought me from. But I am
right.
not going back confessing to be something that I'm not. I'm not that old
no.
man anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said to the
no.
person. I said, I got 20 scriptures that can clear me from ever standing up and declaring that I'm an alcoholic. And I brought up all of the scriptures that you brought up. And that's when I said, well, then where is there victory in Jesus over this vice that I once had in my life? It's been 10 years, 25 years, 30 years, and I'm still standing up talking about I'm an alcoholic. You must be crazy. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So, people,
yeah.
if you got your friends who somehow wants to go to these meetings and say that they are still an alcoholic, tell them that they're wrong, and the Bible says so. The same way we sing that song, Kim, that says, yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that I'm delivered, and I'm not giving nothing else the credit for nothing else but God's deliverance. I'm not talking about it. I'm not doing it. No. Mm-mm. If I got to stand up in here and help you by telling these people I'm an alcoholic, then I'm not your person. And I'm not the person for you because Jesus says I'm delivered. And I'm telling you, girl, this is like some people with 25 years clean stand up and literally say, well, my name is Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't used alcohol for 25 years, literally. And I'm like, yo, you
mm-hmm.
are ill because it wouldn't be Stephanie. I do, well, no.
Mm-hmm.
You want me? Come speak in church. Do something else. I don't care where you talk.
Right.
You ain't talking over there. And I would have to tell the person, I'm not declaring that any longer. Just like you said, there are several scriptures that give us an understanding. Because the first thing I said, Kim, was, hold on, the power of life and death is in your tongue. If I'm going to stand up and talk about it, you can't be both, Kim. You can't be delivered
mm-hmm.
and currently involved. It's either one
right.
or the other.
That's true.
I just wanted to, being that you brought that out, I just, that thing rattles me so bad, girl. When people start, I said, don't talk to me. And it's funny because my group knows me well enough to know, oh, don't set Stephanie off. Just certain things, girl, is just so it's just dynamite before you even light the tip. I just go off. I just don't talk to me because it's just so
That's
silly.
Crazy.
And we
yeah.
have to speak and we have to give God the credit for what he's done
mm-hmm.
in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care nothing about no program and their rituals and what they require you to say because they need you to be aware. No, I'm aware in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I am happy in the Lord that I have never
yeah.
done this. And I thank God because I've just never had that issue. See, I was the one that went on the opposite side of the fence. My parents drank And I just went on opposite, because I saw them fight and argue, and it was just this transition and conversion. It just turned me off so bad, girl, I just didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, so I just happened to be on the other side. But, of course, God had to deliver me from other things. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have that, but I had other things. And that's the beauty of knowing God, knowing that he can deliver you from anything. Girl, things that we think are fine, he's plucking us every day to let us know. Oh, excuse me, you need to get rid of this. You've got to get rid of this. You've got to get rid of this. And, oh, excuse me, that over there, that needs to go, and that needs to go. So I just thank you for helping me understand that I'm not crazy, because that thing just, girl, when I say that thing rips me up, it rips me up, Kim. So we're talking about deliverance, our husband's deliverance, and it asks, you know, do you hear your husband, is your husband screaming to be delivered from something? Is there an experience that you had that you could help us with? You know, some other listeners, if they're not paying attention, because I started off talking about, you know, are you so busy that, you know, you don't pay attention?
Well, I can testify about how my husband, you know, was. He was screaming for deliverance from alcoholism. You know, he was a weekend alcoholic, and I knew that he had a good heart and he was a good person, you know, but, you know, he was in a war, you know, with wanting to stop. A matter of fact, when he got married, I told him, I was like, you know what, I tried to give him an ultimatum to say, okay, he was going to stop, you know, or I wasn't going to marry him, which was the wrong thing to do. I can admit that now, you know, that trying to get a person that's an alcoholic, an automotive, you know, that you have to quit, you know. I realize that deliverance doesn't take place like that, you know, but wanting and hoping that, you know, that the deliverance would take place because he loved me so much, or that the marriage meant, you know, more than the alcohol, or me being pregnant with this child, you know, meant more. But he came from dysfunction. He came from, like you were speaking about, getting to the root of the problem of why, first of all, a person is doing what they do, you know, before something can be plucked up or dug up, or a person can get deliverance. You know, you have to first acknowledge there's a problem and realize why you have this problem that you have. And that's where I was. I realized that, you know, I looked beyond, like God does us. He looks beyond the fault and he sees the need. And so I saw this good person that I realized that really wanted help, you know. He wanted to change, you know, and because I saw that cry in his eyes, you know, on the weekends, you know, when, you know, he would be sorry every weekend, and then, you know, Monday through Thursday, he would go back to being the father and the husband that he should have been, but then the weekend came around, and he was in warfare, you know, constantly for 10 years of the marriage, you know. That's what I dealt with, you know, until God delivered him.
Okay. Amen. Amen. What was the change like, Kim?
What was the change like?
What was the change like?
You're saying what was the change like once he got delivered?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like the song says, a wonderful change has come over me, you know. It was a wonderful change, you know, because, you know, this is something that I prayed for, you know, year after year, day after day, weekend after weekend, because it was hard, you know. When you're married to someone, you know, the Bible tells us that the two become one flesh, you know. So now it was no longer just he and me, we were one, you know, and so his addiction became my addiction. So both of us, you know, were basically alcoholics, you know, wanting to be delivered, you know, because I felt him, you know. It was like I felt him, but
okay.
I just couldn't reach him. You know, I wanted, you know, this deliverance. So when the time finally came, you know, it was such a blessing, you know, and I was so grateful because I could give nobody but God the glory because I knew
Amen.
That it was not, I couldn't do it, you know. I realized
right.
I couldn't save them, and only God can do it. So what it did for me is it increased my faith to understand and to realize that God is a powerful God and that we have to take God out of the box and know that there is nothing that's too hard for God. We have to understand that timing is everything, you know, and
right.
that he might not come when we want him to, but he's always on time.
Amen, amen. So listen, so you went through this, you said 10 years. Am I understanding
yes.
you correctly? All right, so
yes.
you went through this for 10 years. Now, what do you say to another wife who is going through, now I heard you clearly when you said it takes time, it's God's timing. I heard you when you said you pray. But what do you say
mm-hmm.
to a woman about her conversation with her husband while he's in this particular moment of his life? What do you talk about with him when it's in regards to his drinking or his drug usage? What do you talk about? What do you say?
Well, I would first say that, you know, the first thing that we as women have to realize is that when we, because I'm talking to the married women now, what we have to realize
mm-hmm.
is that when we make a vow for better or for worse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is. Now, you
right.
made a vow before God and before these witnesses that for better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through rich or for poor, you know. So you've made this vow, you've made this declaration that this is what I'm going to do. You know, you realize that the two of you have become one, you know. And so now as women, what we have to realize is that we have to be wise. You know, we have to be those virtuous women. We have to realize that who God has brought together, we can let no man asunder. We can't let anything
mm-hmm.
come to tear that marriage up. We have to realize that Proverbs 14 and 1 says that a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman, she plucketh
right.
down her house with her hands, you know. So
mm-hmm.
we have to be wise. We have to study to be quiet, you know, even to the event of sometimes, you know, there's different things that they might need to be delivered from, you know. It might not always
mm-hmm.
be alcohol. It might be the drug.
Right.
It might be cigarettes.
Right.
It might be lying. It might be the lottery.
Right.
It might be going to the casino. It might be masturbation. It could be pornography,
right.
but whatever it is, you know, we have to understand the power of being praying women, you know, and we have to
mm-hmm.
walk by faith and not by sight, you know, so
right.
we can't look at what the situation looks like. We have to look to God and we have to trust him, and I know it's easier said than done. You know, we're looking at this
right.
thing like, Lord, really? Okay, you said you honor marriage and I'm going through this and Lord, you really, you want me to stay in this, and he's doing X, Y, and Z. And it's not always an easy thing to do, but again, when we try to do and we want things to happen, you know, when we're in our own flesh, no, it's not going to happen. But God, you know, through him, he'll give us the strength that we need. He'll sustain
right.
us, because that's what the one thing that I know is that it was like God. Oh, he arrested me in the Holy Ghost. You know, he made me stay when I wanted to leave. It was many days within those 10 years that I said, I can't do this. And God said, exactly,
okay.
You're right. You can't do it, but I can. I'm going to give you the strength that you need, because you're going to do it not through your own flesh and through your own strength, but through the strength that I'm going to give you.
Amen. You know, I'm glad you brought out the fact that, you know, it's just not an issue of alcohol. It could be a whole lot of different things, you know, where he's struggling. And that's just really the issue tonight. You know, he's struggling. And a lot of times, you know, he is doing little things that, you know, he's letting you know that, you know, I know this is driving you crazy, but what do you think it's doing to me? You know, if we think it's driving us crazy, what is it doing to them? Especially if they're trying to get out and away from it, you know, when they feel, you know, that they are being attacked by this thing here and they feel like they have no control over it and it's controlling them. You know, so it's really, ladies, you know, it's for one thing, you know, it could be one thing for one person, another thing for you. And, you know, one thing I hear a lot of women say, boy, couldn't have been me. You're a better one than me. And, you know, so long ago, and I mean by years, I really try my best to steer clear of that. Because, you know, like you said, you know, for one person it's one thing, for the next. So mine may not be stuck on alcohol, but what is your husband stuck on? So while you're talking, you girl, it couldn't be me, and this was alcohol, mine is alcohol, what's your husband, what's his hang up? What does he need to be delivered from? And the bottom line is it's the same exact remedy, it's the same exact prescription to get to the same remedy of deliverance. So, you know, regardless of what, it's going to take prayer, it's going to take patience, it's going to take some long suffering, it's going to take some true love, it's going to take where you're going to have to go and find peace within the storm, it's going to have to be where you need to find joy within the storm. You know, you're going to have to treat him kind, you're going to have to be very humble and meek. You know, and you're like, well, he's the one with the problem. Why am I being meek? Because it's going to take a while to actually step back and understand, you know, what that person is going through. And again, you know, I always like to talk, Kim, about this friendship stage. And that's because, again, you know, when you have a girlfriend and, you know, you finally find out. Y'all go to the club. Let's say go to the club. And she pulls out a little canister in the ladies' room. And you don't know nothing, and you don't know this about her, but she just finally got to the point where she feels close enough that she can actually do this in front of you. And or she's just that desperate that she ain't gonna do it, and whether you're there, you just happen to be there. But when you see her, the first thing you're going to say to her is, girl, are you serious? You really need that? You don't need that. Now you're going to go into, you know, telling her she doesn't need it, she's too good for it. You understand what I'm saying? But when it's your husband, it's a whole different issue. And I don't think we are understanding that part of the process. Are you there? You're mighty quiet. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I it was so quiet, I thought I lost you. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to remember that we need to now get into that friend mode, that encourager, that one that is not more concerned with you blowing the money than you are with you getting delivered from this particular vice. You know, the first thing we go into, Kim, is, oh, you're taking all the money, you're stealing from me, you're doing this, you're doing that, what about the kids finding out, and things like that. And sometimes they just need a friend. They just need a friend. Yeah. A friend to pull their arm and say, come on, let's go pray. No. You don't need this. But it just has a brand new face when it's your husband. So let's talk about that for a minute and how it needs to be addressed in a certain manner, regardless of whether it's your husband or not.
Yeah. You know, one thing that we have to understand is that love is so powerful, and it covers a multitude of sin. And the Bible says that with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Because mm-hmm. when you find that there is a problem, and the last thing that you want when you're going through something or when you got an issue is for somebody telling you what you already know, or for mm-hmm. somebody sitting up there, you know, down your throat, nagging and saying this and saying that, you know. But this comes with maturing. This comes with growing in your relationship and getting to know God, you know. And even in 1 Corinthians 7:14, it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his wife.
Right.
You know,
right.
So the one that is saved, and it's vice versa. So the one that is saved is the one that sanctifies the other, because again, you're
right.
one. And so when you
right.
become one in the spirit, we just, like, you know, the cliche, treat people the way you want to be treated.
If
you were born
right.
through something. You know, because like the skillet can't talk about the pot, because at the end of the day,
right.
like you said, we all got some stuff. When you point that finger, and that's one thing that I had to realize, is that every time I was pointing that finger at him and telling my mother, oh, but Mom, you don't know what he did, and you don't know how he was treating me, and you don't know, and you don't know. And God said, uh-huh. Now let's talk about what you did. And let's talk about
wow.
the things that you can work on about you.
Wow.
And let's talk about how mean you were and how you said this and how you were hooping and hollering and acting a fool. And I was like, ooh, ouch. Okay.
Wow.
I get it.
Oh,
I get
my
it.
Goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing. Like I said, you know, the more I speak to you ladies, the more I become, you know, enlightened, encouraged, you know, because, again, like you said, you know, while we're busy focusing on them, we really need to keep the focus on ourselves and not, you know, berate them, not discourage them, because actually, especially with men, you know, you can discourage them so much quicker than you can discourage women. And that's part, that is one reason why it's a lot easier to talk to our girlfriend than it is to talk to the man in our life, because she doesn't get as discouraged so easily as he does. And in his discouraging moment, he's now responding in a certain manner. Mm-hmm. And now that puts us at a different level of attitude. Because, see, we're thinking of this whole thing. Well, you know, you talking about, well, this, and I'm talking about you, that. And did you think about this, and did you think about that, and did you think about this, and what happens with this? This is going to be affected, and that's going to be affected. We don't give that same speech to the girlfriends. And I really, the more, I'm going to be honest with you, Kim, the more and more I have each conversation with you ladies, I'm beginning to get real emotional right now, the more I realize that we need to be a friend. We really need to be a friend. Because a friend is going to remove a whole lot of things that we do. And a whole lot of things that we don't do is going to shift. So we really need to really focus on loving him from a different angle, really, because that's what's going to make the journey much different. It really is. The more I talk to you ladies, and this particular topic is really very sensitive to me for quite a few reasons. And it's just like this biggest light bulb. I preach this in service. I talk about it in general. I talk about it on every single conversation, every broadcast. This comes out, and I'm really, 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 it's just like slapping me in the face.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
It's really slapping me in the face right now because I realize how much I failed. It just hit me today. Tonight was my light bulb moment. I just realized how much I failed and how I need to do a better job in that area. I talk about this every single broadcast, girl. Tonight, it really just like the whole sky just fell down and said, Stephanie, because I realized that we talk in a certain way, and I have gone from the angle of a friend, but I realized that I can do a lot better, and that would make the relationship a lot better and make this journey a lot different, because at the end of the day, you are one, and when they don't understand that when they go down, you go down. When they need to be delivered from certain things, it takes you down. You want to talk about that for a little bit while I get myself together?
Yes, okay. And I truly understand, you know, but this is why God gave this broadcast to you, you know, because He knew that you would be transparent and that you would, you know, humble yourself. And what we have to understand is that communication is so therapeutic. You know, it's just like when you're preaching, you know, the words first has to come to you. And so what we have to realize is that, you know, God, again, everything is done in His timing, you know, and just being able to walk in love, you know, love really does cover a multitude of sins, and love is so powerful. It is so, so powerful because, Stephanie, I'm going to tell you, one day I was at work, and this is when I got saved, and my husband was still drinking, and the Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you to call your husband and I want you to tell him that you love him and that no matter what, you're going to stick by his side. And even though he might still be drinking, that you were going to be with him, you know, until the end. And so I was like, huh? You know, so I was obedient. I did what God told me to do. And I said what He told me to say. And in doing that, you know, because a lot of times what happens is when you have one that, you know, and I know the Bible talks about how the two walk together unless they agree. And sometimes we have to agree to even disagree. You know, sometimes we have to humble ourselves in such a way that because sometimes we can be intimidating, you know, and we can so high on our horse that we just got to stay humble. You know, we got to, you know, we have to humble ourselves as little children, and we have to continue again to walk in that agape love and not make them feel inferior or feel intimidated like, oh, okay, well, she's saved and she's living for God. And then now I'm turning up my nose at you and I'm acting like I'm better than you. No, because we have to always remember where we come from, you know.
And
guess what? We got to remember where we can go back to if we're not careful. We're all just a paycheck away from being homeless. We're all just a day from going back to where we were if we're not careful. So we just have to always walk in humility and love, you know, and most of all, integrity, Holy Ghost integrity. We have to pray that God gives us integrity and wisdom, you know, and Proverbs is such a good book to read about being wise, you know, about being that wise wife and being that woman, because a lot of times, you know, our mouths get us in trouble because we're so such emotional beings that we just got to tell them and we just got to say this and we just got to do that.
Right.
No, we got to remember that the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's, you know. Our arms are too short to try to box, you know. We got to give it to God because it's not ours for us, you know, to be trying to fight. But, yeah, we're going to try. But then when we get tired of hitting that brick wall and realizing, okay, I'm not getting anywhere trying to do this my way, so I might as well give it to God and do it God's way, you know. And when we do, we'll see that things will begin to really work out. But I'm saying all that to say is that we have to first fix ourselves. You know, we have to first fix ourselves. We have to practice what we preach, and we have to remember that, like I said, we're on our best day, our righteousness, our filthy rags. You know, we all came from dirt, and we're all going to go back to dirt. And we can't try to act like that we're so much better than them, but we have to always walk in love, because that's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to, because like you said, either you're going to make a choice to either, you know, be fussing and cussing and going ranting and raving and all of that, which is going to really make them want to go out there. Now what you've done is, oh, okay, now he's talking to Betty Sue, you know, that's on the job, you know, because she's that listening ear, because, you know, all you do is hoop and holler. Then you wonder why, you know, he don't want to come home and why he don't want to be bothered, you know, and you wonder why you can't even sit at the, why he's going out to eat with somebody else breaking bread, because every time he try to sit down at the table with you, you reminded him of how terrible he is or what he didn't do and how he didn't do it and this and that, you know. So, you know, they'll find somebody that's beneath them or somebody that's on their level that's going to who's going to love them for who they are, you know,
right
for who they are and not for what they do, you know. So again, it's just back to love. It all revolves around that love.
You're absolutely right. You know, I remember as you were talking, it brought back to my memory one day we were in service. And one of the questions was there a time when the other one said something to you that hurt your feelings or called you a name or something like that, and how did it make you feel? So, you know, I said my part, and when it got to him, he came back and said, you know, I don't have that memory. You know, you've never said anything to me that has, you know, been out of the way. You've always been very respectful and you never said anything. And I was shocked, I have to tell you, because it's been like 9 years, almost 10 years. And I had to laugh because I was like, all them days you made me mad? I never said nothing. So I really, you know, I was surprised, I have to be honest, because I'm going back. As he's thinking, I'm thinking, and I'm like, okay, did I respond to when he said that, or did I respond to his? And he said, you know, no, I had never said anything. And I was really, you know, I was grateful to God, because, of course, back 8 years ago, you never know that that question was going to come up on September 3rd. You follow what I'm saying? And you would have to answer that and answer to that. You know, you've been had to answer to God, but now it's in your face, and I was really glad. You have no idea. I was like, phew, that I had not said anything. And in my head, and I guess that's why I just broke down a little while ago, because, the Bible tells you, don't think more of yourself than you ought.
Definitely.
And one of my prayers today, we just had a conversation today, and, you know, I could tell I was rattling him a little bit because I was like, well, how come this and how come that and why won't this and why won't that? And after a while, I was like, Steph. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was just asking questions. And anybody who's listened to this broadcast knows I always tell people after the second question, he's done. It don't matter how nice the question is, how innocent the question is, Kim. He just can't take it after the second question. He feels a straight interrogation. So I try mm-hmm. my best when I speak, you know, to ask my questions, like, real far apart so it doesn't mm-hmm. feel like mm-hmm. you're getting them back-to-back. So today, I guess, as strategic as I was, I still didn't get over. And he was like, Steph, please. And I was like, okay. But I'm saying all of this to say, you know, when I put it together as I was talking, and I put it all together, and the Spirit of the Lord said, you can always be better, Stephanie. You can go that next level deeper. You can always go deeper in that. You know, yes, you know, you've, and I remember, and here's the funny part. I remember at one point I always would say to him, you know what, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. And if we break up, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I just want to leave it. Don't talk to me. Don't say anything. Pretend like you didn't know me. And he used to say to me, well, what about the friendship? And I would get so angry that I would say, I don't care about no friendship. Oh, Kim, I used to get so angry. I was like, I don't care about the friendship. We ain't friends, you know. And he used to always, that's the first thing he used to ask. It's like a little kid, like, well, what about the friendship? And then after a while, the Lord had to deal with me on that and had to say, okay, well, and this is before I started preaching the friendship thing. That's how interesting this was. And as I said, a lot of things I preach because this is what God has given me himself. And I said, you know, well, okay, I had to come to terms with, Stephanie, you can't do that. That's just not making sense. You know, years and years down the line, thank God, you know, of course I don't say that, and I do reach back for the friendship. That was my way of learning about being a friend, especially during the hard times when he's going through troubled waters, just be the friend. And just it just hit me tonight like, you know what, you haven't done the best job. You just haven't done the best job. You know, there are issues. The same way you would think that, you know, you want for people to understand when you're going through your things and when you need to be nurtured and walk through during those periods of time. You know, for him, here's the thing, Kim, that is just hitting me. Level one stage, level two stage, level three stage of friendship is not good enough for him. And I'm going to give it to you all that are listening like this, and it helps me to understand it like this. I remember I got sick a few years ago, and I got diverticulitis. And when I asked what would cause my colon to get to that condition, I was told that, well, what happens is, you know, it doesn't happen when you're young. It's a lack of vegetables and fruits over your lifetime, and it hits you after 40. So I said to the doctor, I said, well, I've always eaten. You know, I grew up on fruit and vegetable. You know, I always ate a lot of that. And he said, you may have, but you just didn't know how much your body needed. So if you were giving your body 100%, but yet your body was absorbing it and you needed 125%, you didn't know you needed 125%. You just stopped at 100%. But your body actually needed more. And that's what I think of now when we're dealing with the husbands who need to be delivered from whatever they need to be delivered from, and we're saying, I'm being a friend. Well, no, well, being a friend at level five just may not be good enough. You may have. It may take being friends at level 25 to actually get the job done. Am I making any sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's what really kind of got to me, because I'm thinking I'm where I need to be. I'm where I need to be in this. And it's funny because not that long ago, God told me that I needed to go deeper, but in another aspect. I didn't put mm-hmm. two and two together. So here I am now. I feel like, okay, well, I didn't fail because here I am telling people all the time, this is what you need to do, and here I am doing it, and yet in actuality it's not enough. So my listeners, my personal testimony I'm going to extend to you. If you don't see that you're assisting, your assistance at level five is good enough, then go to next notch. Instead of you feeling like you've just reached your peak, your pinnacle, you can't go no further, you actually can. And that's what we're going to talk about going forward, you know, just pushing past that point and not being, you know, either afraid to do it or not, or even when you don't think you can, just go. And let God just lead you along the way, because it's going to help with his deliverance. And it's going to help mm-hmm. to deliver you, because like Kim said, mm-hmm. it's your one. And when he suffers, you suffer. And that's what we're going to have to come to terms with, that maybe it's just not enough, and we have to go a little further. You want to say something before I give you a scripture that I wanted you to have? Did you want to say anything behind that, Kim?
Yeah, I just want to say that that is so very true, you know, because a lot of times what we do is we put up these brick walls, because once we've been hurt, once we've been disappointed, once we've been rejected, once we've dealt with so much, you know, for so long, you know, it's like we get discouraged, you know, and we grow weary, and we get to this shutdown point, you know, which either, you know, drives us away, or, you know, to a point that we don't want to be bothered. We just feel in a certain kind of way. But like you said, you know, because of the fact of the vow that we have made, you know, sometimes you have to try something different to get different results, mm-hmm. you know. And some, if they get something you never had, you have to do something that you've never done. So sometimes
right.
you might have to give more, you know. And it's about how bad you want it. And if you really, really want it to work, sometimes you have to put your pride to the side. And
yeah.
you know, and I'm speaking about Kim now. I'm talking about me, because I know that I got to a point that, you know, I heard my sister one day say, it's time to stop being bitter but be better, you know. And so when you get to a point that you want it, when you know better, you do better. So now that you know some things, it's like, okay, God, let me try this. You know, I've tried it this way, I've tried it that way. Now let me try it this way, you know. And so
right.
In just allowing, just letting go and letting God, and just going the extra mile, because it's not always going to be 50-50 in marriage. Sometimes it's going to be 10% and 90, you know, 10-90, you know. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes you
mm-hmm.
might have to be the one to give more or whatever. So,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for helping me with that. And I give God thanks for your life and your words to help me be delivered. Boy, right here on the broadcast, that's like amazing. And I give God
yeah.
thanks, because he's going to do what he needs
yeah.
to do at his appointed time. So
absolutely.
I'm looking at Psalm 34:17, and I want
mm-hmm.
you to kind of expound on, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let's talk about that. Kim?
Okay.
Did I lose you?
Yes. I'm sorry. My grandson was trying to come down here, and I'm trying to make sure that I keep them quiet. Please forgive me.
It's okay.
You said Psalms 34, you said, when the righteous, repeated, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry
mm-hmm.
for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Yes. Okay. So when the righteous cry out, it's like, because God knows the heart of man. You know, God knows what we really and truly want to be delivered. And that's why I was saying, you know, wanting wanting deliverance, it's what makes all of the difference in the world. It's what makes all of the difference, you know, wanting it. You know, when your heart is right, you know, when your heart is right and your heart is pure, you know, because God will have mercy on whom he'll have mercy on, you know, and because God knows us, you know, and when we become and get to a place that we are in right standing with God, you know, because we got to get some things right with him first, you know.
Right.
And God knows the heart of man. You know, I just believe that God really and truly knows our heart, just like, you know, we can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. We can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. And when you really are trying to be righteous before God and you're showing fruit of repentance, you know, God will hear you. You know, we called upon the Lord and he heard our cry, you know. So God knows. He knows. God is all-knowing and he's all-seeing and he is sitting high and he is looking low. But again, you know, everything is about the timing of God and being in his perfect will. Yep.
Amen.
And being right before him.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
You know, there's some
and you
other
know, I was
scriptures.
Talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Alice, forgive me. You know, I was thinking about the other week when the Lord had gave me a word for the people from Hezekiah about when Hezekiah was sick unto death, you know, and when he got word that he was going to die, he began to cry out to the Lord. And when he cried out to the Lord, you know, he began to put God in remembrance. He turned his face to the wall, the Bible says, and he began to put God in remembrance. Lord, I've done this and I've done that. And sometimes when we know that we have really and truly tried to do, you know, the best that we can, and then we're trying to change and we're trying to do all that we know how, God will have mercy on us. And he not only did he heal Hezekiah, but he add years, 15 years unto his life, you know, so God can restore, he can deliver, he can set free because of the heart. And it's something about, Stephanie, when we just begin to cry out to God, it's a sound when we're desperate for God. It's one thing when we can pray a prayer, but when we begin to call on Jesus and just be desperate for him, that's when God can hear us. That's when he can hear us. And so whether it be them crying out or us crying out, you know, God, he knows the heart of man. He knows he knows us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows when we are really and truly sorry. You know, he knows when we really need him and we want him to come, you know, and to see about us, you know. So I just thought about that. You know, that was something the Holy Spirit just brought back to my remembrance about how he just cried out before God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a righteous man that loved God, you know, and God knows our heart.
Right.
Yep.
We got to put some strength to what you were saying. We have Psalm 107:6 that says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." So, you know, that goes right along with your Hezekiah story, you know, crying out during a time of trouble, and, you know, he delivers. I want one more scripture for you to expound on, and I'm looking here to Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And, you know, I won't speak before you do, but that's the final scripture I want to go over tonight, and there's a point that I would like to bring up. So let's see what you have for us in regards to that scripture.
Again, you know, it's just something about, you know, being desperate for God, you know, and they're pretty much the same, you know, just being able to, you know, God knows us, you know, by our sound. He knows us by our voices, you know, and God knows, again, when we are really and truly desperate for him, you know, and as all praying wise, to sanctify our homes and our husbands, you know, because of the fact that God honors marriage so much, you know. And when God knows, you know, he could hear, you know, that sound in our voice, okay, well, my daughter, she's crying out to me. She's getting weary, you know, because the Bible says don't be weary in well-doing because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so I just believe that and crying out to God and just, you know, getting on our knees and not just giving God a 2-second prayer, you know, and just really toiling in the spirit and just reaching heaven, you know, getting in that secret place. The Bible says that he that dwelleth in a secret place gonna abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's a place that we can go, you know, in that secret closet when we just get behind the veil and just get desperate, you know, and say, you know, like, look, Lord, okay, I'm not going to let go until you bless me, you know. I'm not going to, you know, I can't leave here until I get an answer or two. I hear your voice or till you give me, you know, some confirmation that you heard me. And that's just like Hezekiah, again, when he went before God, he said, Lord, give me a sign, you know. And sometimes we need to say, Lord, okay, give me a sign. Let me know that you heard me tonight. Let me know, Lord, give me some confirmation because I don't need another prophecy. I don't need another word. I don't need nobody else coming telling me nothing else. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to know that you have heard my cry tonight because I can't take another day of this. I can't go through this anymore, Lord. So I need you to hear me. You know, so it's just something about when we just really begin to cry out onto God. You know, God, he's a prayer answering God. You know, he is a prayer answering God. He's sitting high and he's looking low. And you know, sometimes I realize a lot of times what we're so quick to do is blame everything on the devil. Everything is not the devil. You know, sometimes God will allow us to have those thorns in our side, and he'll allow us to have those different circumstances and situations. Why? Because he wants us to pray more. Because if everything was perfect, Stephanie, what would we have to pray about? What would we have to fast about? What would we have to go to God, you know, about if everything was all good, you know?
Right. There's nothing for him to fix.
We got to know it's all working together for good.
Absolutely. Thank you. I want to add something to what you were saying. The part that kind of touched me about this particular scripture, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You know, I don't think a lot of times people are remembering that God is doing this work so he can be glorified, so that you tell another individual. And I think about two things. I think about one thing about the Hezekiah story. You know, at the end of the day, God was glorified, you know, because this is what happened. You know, when we tell the stories of how God brought us through, how God brought us out, how he's delivered us from this and delivered us from that, this is a testimony to be given. This is not something that we now sit and hold to ourselves and not talk about it. You know, we talked about this the other day. I think it was on Monday with Shaquan, and we were talking about, you know, this is the God gives us the testimony. He gives us the testimony so that at the end of the day, he may be glorified. God wants people to be delivered by the sound of our voice. So not only, you know, are you blessing God when you pray and you give God thanks, but the best way to give God thanks is when you tell somebody about a man named Jesus. When you tell somebody about God and you let them know, hey, God brought me through this. God brought me through that. And, you know, the second thing I thought about was the breakdown tonight on the phone. And I was like, dang, did it have to happen here? Well, at the end of the day, it did.
Yeah.
It had to happen here. Yeah. It wasn't meant to happen in my private because God says, I'm going to move when I choose to move and any way I choose to do it. And now everyone can hear that, yes, the light bulb moments, I keep telling people, if anybody knows, well, listen, y'all hear me pray every segment. So anybody knows me knows I'm a praying person. And I pray for the nuts and the bolts and the shoe polish and the whole 9 yards. I really get down to the targeted prayer. And this is the way that God answers my prayer. This is the way he chose to answer my prayer, is when I talk to you ladies and gentlemen and I let you know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. This is what we should do. And I talk about myself quite a bit on here as well.
Because my thing is, I need to tell a person, like you said, I'm telling people about a man named Jesus. I'm here to tell somebody about the Lord.
Yes.
And that's what this verse is. I love the ending of this verse.
Yes.
And it's to glorify God. It is. We do God a very big disservice, Kim, when we get these things. And then we hold on to it because we're ashamed to tell about it, because we don't want nobody to know about it, because we're worried about what somebody's going to say. And God said, listen, I allowed you to go through it, and I brought you out of it. When am I going to get the credit for bringing you out of it? You could tell everybody about everything else. You could tell everybody about how so-and-so gave you money and fed you, and now that you and your family, you know, they brought you through a week's worth of groceries, and, you know, you and your family have something to eat. Well, guess what? I did that. You're giving the credit to Mary, but look at what I'm doing. He says, I'm a jealous God. You're going to tell everybody, Mary can only has a limited ability to help. I am the all help. I can do it all. I can do it all at the same time, and there's nothing that I can't or won't do should I choose to do it. So when we hold on to this, people, we don't give God no glory out of our lives, and that's what we're here for. We're not here to look good or make the earth look pretty. We're here to give God our lives. And the way we can give God our life is when we cry out to him and he rescues us. He delivers us from these things. And then we turn around and we stand on the mountaintop and say, God did it. God did it. God did it. If we do not do that, then you better hope and pray that the next time you get on your knees and say a prayer and ask God, that he will bring you out. Because I tell you, somebody said, oh, girl, I like your outfit. Oh, you know, my sister bought this for me. Oh, you know, I love that pocketbook. My husband gave this to me for my birthday, girl. You know, this is what we do. And we do not give God the credit, you know, for doing the things that he does. And shame on us. And this Bible verse here, in case you didn't know, for those of you who are listening, this is what God needs us to do. This is what we were here. This is what we're here to do. We're here so he can get the glory out of our lives. Can we have a question that came through on the text? And I want to read it to you so we can answer this question.
Okay.
Okay. It's going back to what we talked about before, about being delivered from, let's say, alcoholism. So the question is, would it still be deliverance for those who fall off after 10 or 25 years, that some event has them turn to the vice they gave up? So maybe, you know, an occurrence happened and now, you know, they ended up turning back to the bottle, you know, for that time. So can they still, the writer wants to know, you know, can you still consider yourself to be delivered? What do you say?
I would say yes. And that's my point of view. That's just like if a person is married and they, they've been married for 25 years, but they might have been unfaithful on one occasion. But are they still married? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So once you're delivered, you're delivered. You know, but did you fall or make a mistake? Yes, you did. But you're still delivered. You know, you might have failed, but get back up. You know, get back up. You know, and just continue to declare and decree, you know, your deliverance, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just like in our Christian walk, you know, as Christians, you know, that are saved, you know, and living a Christian walk. Are we going to be perfect? No, we're not. But are we still saved? Yes, we are, you know. So I would say yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering that. I would agree. I would agree. The first thing I thought about is what you said about the Christian walk. You know, the Bible tells us, my children sin not, but if you do, there's an advocate. You know, get yourself up. Let the Lord dust you off. Let the Lord dust you off. This is not a process you can do yourself. You know, so the whole thing is I get upset and I brush myself. No. When we brush ourselves off, it's never a thorough job. Get up and let the Lord brush you off, because when he does it, it is considered done. Because at that point, you know, again, you know, why did you fall to that vice? Did you step into an area where you thought you were safe and you found out, unfortunately, that you were not safe? You know, I've known some people who have been criticized because they have stopped drinking and they don't go around any arena where there's alcohol. And I've heard some people say, oh, what's wrong with them? And now they're looking down. And I said, no, they're not looking down. They're doing what they need to do to save their life. And if you can't understand it, then you don't need to be around them because they need to do what they need to do. They tell you people, places, and things. And you have to take into consideration that anything could possibly make you go that route. We don't know until, unfortunately, like, again, you step into that arena and you realize that it's too big for you. It is way too big for you. So, therefore, we don't know why that person fell into, you know, that vice that time. But I agree with you. It's a one-shot deal. Get up. Let the Lord brush you off. Give God thanks. Don't do that again. Don't do it again. Don't go there again. Or don't talk, or don't deal with that issue again. Whatever it is, steer clear of it. And God is not considering you not delivered because of that one instance. And again, like I said, I go back to the scripture that says there's an advocate. You know, this is not your lifestyle anymore. That's not what I'm getting from the question. I'm getting from it's a slip and fall. Well, it's like any other mistake in your journey of Christianity. Again, I agree with you. Once we give our lives to God, it is never going to say that we are not going to ever fall. But what do you do when you fall? That's the question. So... you know, you really I agree with you 100%. And what you need to do is now you need to go. And see, this is another, go before the Lord. Let me finish. I hate when people do that to me. Let me finish. You have to go before the Lord and stay before the Lord and give that in your life another dedication to the Lord. Lord, I see what went wrong. And now I'm done with that. I see I cannot go into that arena. Or I see I can't do this. Or I see I can't do that. And now here we are. I need to be a new creature in you, and I'm going to declare that that's done, and I agree with you. That's the way we have to look at it, and which is one of the things, Kim, that makes me so temperamental about this thing I talked to you about somebody standing up and saying, you know, I'm still an alcoholic, because my thing is, if you made a mistake and went one time, that does not mean that that's who you are. It does mean that that's who you are. And I agree. I love the marriage analogy because my thought was, well, if you make a mistake when you're a Christian, does that mean you're not a Christian no more? So we had the same thought. So thank you so much for answering that. And the person wrote back, thank you. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for, you know, kind of bringing it, because maybe someone else had that question too. And that's why I always tell people it's so important to ask, you know, your questions, so that, again, God gets the glory out of, you know, this broadcast, because now we don't know how many other people may have been considering, you know, asking that question. So, you know, we've reached a point in the broadcast, Kim, where we go before the Lord in prayer, and, you know, we really give God thanks, because regardless of what we need to be delivered from, we have been delivered from a whole lot already. So we give God thanks. We give God thanks. We don't negate, you know, because we have a mile to go, we don't negate the mile that we've come, you know, into. So everybody just kind of get out those bedrooms from in front of those TVs, get in your stance where you're going to focus on the Lord. Get the kids out the room if they're going to be distracted. Whatever you need to do, let's go before God together as a unit. Remember, you know, we do corporate prayer for him. And men who are listening, we're going into corporate prayer with you for deliverance today. Okay, so let us pray to Heavenly Father. How can we say thank you, God, for the love that you have extended to us tonight and every other night. God, we say thank you for getting us up out of our beds. And if we were home on vacation, if we were home because of the snow, if we went to work, if we went to the laundry, whatever we did today, God, you brought us safely to this point in this day so that we can listen to your word, God. We give you thanks, God, for Kim. We give you thanks that she was open and transparent and expressed her experience, God, to God, for you to get the glory from it, dear Heavenly Father. She talked about the deliverance of not just her husband, but of herself, dear God. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because she told us, I cried out to the Lord, and he helped to deliver not just my husband, but myself, God. So we want to follow in that same pattern, dear Heavenly Father, and we want to cry out to you, Lord, right now. Whatever it is, dear Heavenly Father, that is the vice, God, we ask you to remove it, dear Heavenly Father. If we didn't even realize before tonight that it was a vice, God, we ask you to remove it, and we thank you for bringing it to our realization, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because we've been given another chance to get it right, God, that you woke us up today with that on your mind, with us on your mind, dear Heavenly Father. And we say thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you decided to give us brand new mercies today, dear God. Lord, we're just coming to you, Lord, on behalf of us first, God. As the wives, as the women, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask you, God, to first forgive us for anything that we have done that would possibly hinder our prayers from going forward tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you just wipe the slate clean. You make us aware of what we've done wrong, that we would say I'm sorry with a repentant heart, dear Heavenly Father, and that we could now put ourselves on the altar first, dear God, and ask you to clean us up, dear Heavenly Father. Whatever it is that we need you to wipe away, God, we just make ourselves available, dear Heavenly Father, so that you can wipe us as white and make us as white as snow, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we come to you, some of us with a heavier heart than others, God, over our husband's issues, dear Heavenly Father. He's crying out, God. For those of us who hear the screams, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, for those things in particular, God, we ask you to just relieve him, God. We ask you to touch his heart, touch his mind, touch his eyes, touch his ears, God, so that he can maneuver differently, God, that he can surrender himself to you, God, so that you can remove any impurity, God, that he has inside of him, God. Keep him away from anything that would have him to go backwards, God. Take him away from anybody, God, including a mother or father, dear Heavenly Father, that would stand in the way of you getting the glory out of his life, dear Heavenly Father. For those of us that don't hear the screams, God, we ask you to slow us down so we can pay more attention to our husband, God, so we can be the helpmate, dear Heavenly Father, that we have been designed to be, God, so that we can sanctify our husbands, God, the way you have written and you have prescribed for us to do and for us to be, dear Heavenly Father. We are grateful, dear Heavenly Father, that you have made us aware of these things, God, that we don't have to walk around in the dark, God, that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, dear Heavenly Father. And you have paved the way. You have pointed us in the way, God. And we, as Hezekiah turned to you and you gave him 16 extra years, God, we want to do the same today, God. We look to you, God, and we're crying out, God. If our husbands are not crying out, if they don't even know what's going on, God, we cry out on their behalf, God, and ask you to listen to us, God. Hear our cry, dear Heavenly Father. Let us share with our friends, with our co-workers. Let us tell it from the mountain how good and great you are, and how good and great you are, how good and great you are, how good and great you are, over and over and over again, Lord. Let us have not a closed mouth for the goodness of you, for the things that you have done, the restoration, the deliverance, dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. God, we give you thanks for Kim's marriage, God, that that marriage might be a blessing to us, dear Heavenly Father, tonight, God. We say thank you for all the little things that you have done in each of our lives to bring us to this point, God, where a friend told us to listen, where we just stumbled across it on the internet, God. Whatever it is, God, we thank you for allowing us to be on this broadcast, dear God, and we ask ask you that we would bless the lives of those that listen so that they may want to tune in every single time we are on the air, God, and that they might be blessed, God. Your word says that every relationship and marriage would be healed, God, and we declare that to be true, and we tell everybody because you will get the glory out of this broadcast, God. If it was free or if it cost $1 million, it doesn't matter, dear Heavenly Father, because you want to heal, God, and we are trusting you for the best things to come out of each and every relationship and each and every marriage, God. We're trusting you, dear Heavenly Father, for the things that have not been done before tonight, God, before this moment. We declare that everything is brand new, dear Heavenly Father, that we're looking through a brand new set of eyes and we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, dear Heavenly Father, that we will not be discouraged any longer, God, but we will have the victory in your name, Jesus. So we say thank you, God, one more time for the love that you've given us, the kindness that you've given us, in the gentle manner that you've handled us, dear Heavenly Father. We love you because you first loved us, God, and you have shown us what true love is supposed to be. We ask you to bless Kim's marriage further. We ask you to bless her family, God. We ask you to bless her ministry, dear Heavenly Father, so that she would only speak your truth and your truth only. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
So we've got a couple of minutes for you to say what needs to be said by you as we get ready to sign off this broadcast. And what can you say your last words to bless each of our listeners regarding praying for our husband's deliverance?
I bless God for this opportunity because I just believe that we overcome by the testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. And again, you know, I often remind myself that it's not me, and I always, when anybody even says anything to me, I said, to God be the glory, because it's not me. And even when I got on this line tonight, I said, Lord, allow me to speak your words, not mine, because it's not me, it's the God
right.
in me. And that's why I want to encourage, you know, my sisters on this line tonight to let go and let God have his way. You know, get out of flesh and walk in the spirit and begin to just cry out to God. And like you were saying, you know, I thought again about Hezekiah and how God told him once he did what he did for Hezekiah, he told him to go down to the temple. And that just reminds me of how we need to go to the church sometimes, and
that's
we need
right.
to testify. Because
that's
people,
right.
you know, you can't tell somebody how to get to California if you've never been there. But when you have
right.
personally been things, and that's why God has ordained us to be able to testify, to be able to tell about what God did for us. It's all things are working together for the good to those that love God and are called according
right.
to his purpose. So because
Amen.
God knew that there would be purpose, you know, for us to be able to encourage the other women, that's why it's important for us to share the tears, you know, to give God
right.
the glory, to be able to, see, God got the glory tonight, Stephanie, when you were transparent, when you allowed the tears to flow, when you were bold enough to say, you know what, there's some things that I could do a little bit better. Oh, this is a reality check, or that's a slap in the face, and oh, wow, you know, this is something
Amen.
That's making me convicted to a point that I want to do better. Somebody texted
Amen.
Me while I was on, you know, while I've been on this line telling me, wow, I needed this tonight, because a lot of times we get to a point that
Amen.
We become so comfortable in our marriage because
right.
we feel like I've been married for 10 years or 20
right.
years or whatever.
Right.
No, there's always room for improvement. There's always some
Amen.
Things that
Amen.
We can do better. And I want to be the first partaker to say, you know, Lord, help me. Help me to love more. Help me to be more
Amen.
Understanding. You know, help
Amen.
Me to
Amen.
Be able to keep myself humble, you know, in the sight
Amen.
Of God, and to never act like I'm more than I ought to. You know, I want to continue
Amen.
To be
Amen.
That friend, you know, that my husband might need me to be. You know, I don't want to, you know, ever intimidate him to feel like because I'm the pastor that he can't have
Amen.
A friend anymore.
Amen.
Or he doesn't
Amen.
Have the
Amen.
Wife that he once married,
Amen.
You know, 28 years ago. You know, I want to continue to be that woman that he fell in love with, you know. then and still, you know, allow that love to flow even now, even the more, you know. So we have to remember that our husbands have to be our best friends as well.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think it was you and I. Thank you so much for that, because every time you talk, you spark something. You say something that sparks something else in me. And I don't know. I think it was you and I, because, like I said, I have a few women that have come on, and I never realized that you were pastors and ministers and things like that, because those were the women that I wasn't looking for. I wasn't, purposely, because I didn't want women on that caliber. I wanted just regular Christian wives, but the blessing has been, I mean, tremendous, Kim, tremendous. But you and I were talking, and when you said something just a minute ago, it reminded me of a conversation that you and I had, and we talked about pastors, our role. And, you know, a lot of times, you just said something a minute ago, and a lot of times, you know, we have everybody in our hands. Everybody. We have everybody in our hands. And it's a job. It's a job to, you know, be a pastor and to maintain your family and your marriage. It's a lot. It's a lot because you know, you're sharing. They're sharing you with everybody. They're sharing you with everybody. And you have to make time to really do these things and to let them know that, hey, we're still friends. Hey, yes, I love you. Yes, you are my husband, or even for men, you are my wife. It's when you said something a minute ago, I can't remember what you said, but what it made me think of was how they feel that we are pastors. And a lot of times they may not say anything, but what they are silently feeling, because we go, it's transparent when we go all out to save Sister Jones, Brother Mac, Sister Sally. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody sees that. Everybody sees that. Mm-hmm. He sees it, and so does everyone else. But we always talk about the ministry starts in your home. And you do minister in your home. But how much time do you actually have to take for your home when you got congregations that need, you know, that need to, you know, you're constantly answering the phone, you're constantly taking a counselor session, you're constantly running errands, you're constantly doing this. But a lot of times we don't understand how they may feel slighted at the fact that, you know, hey, you know, they're going behind Sister Sally and Brother, you know, Mac and Sister Jones, and yet again, you know, where am I? Where do I fall in all of this? You know, she's not helping me as much and things like that. And it made me really think about that and how, you know, men are not as vocal. See, the wives that have husbands that are pastors, they're going to let you know. They're going to let you know, Kim, excuse me, I feel it slighted. You're not paying that much attention to me. Men are not that vocal more than they will act out. And that's what, you know, you're going to subsequently get, you know, from the men when all of this is going on. And, you know, it kind of jolted my thought process when you were talking just now. And I said, wait a minute, I think she was the one where we talked about, you know, it's a job that you got it, that you really need to hold down. And you're talking about being on a broadcast from 8 to 9:30, 10 o'clock, 5 days a week. On Sabbath, you know, I told you we worship on Saturday, you know, that's for us, that's the whole day. It's not a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there. It's the whole day from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And you know, you're pretty much going past the sunset time on Saturday nights. So you're talking about, this is all the time that you don't have. So if you're talking about people who work
and things like that, that time gets cut shorter and shorter and shorter. Follow me? So it's an extra amount of effort that I realize I'm going to have to put out, and I'm going to have to, you know, extend, and I'm going to have to make the time for, because the things that I have not been able to physically do, the things that I have not had the time to actually say, I'm going to have to make it my business to say it. And ladies and gentlemen, you will be the first to know I owe him a big apology, and God spares my life, my breath. As soon as we hang up this phone, he will get just that. I am not too big to let him know, you know what, I could have done better, and I'm sorry that I failed you. I can do better, and I promise you going forward that I will make a concerted effort to do it better, and if I don't, let me know. If you need more, let me know. Now, we ain't going to get greedy, but when they all just decide, you know, let me know. Let me know, because like I said, you know, we all know men tend, like I said, men will tend to act out more than women. Women will speak out more. They're not going to do that, especially if they, you know, they know the passion, Kim, behind what we do. They know we're not slowing down. You know, we, God put us on a mission. He put us on assignment. We going for it. We, women have a much different level of passion, and it's different when men pastor than women pastor. Women are very nurturing. So we're going to take that extra amount of time to stroke you, to hug you, to, you know, men are just going to do one thing and then they're off. And there's no fighting men who are pastors. That's not what I'm saying. But you understand what I mean when I say that. And, you know, so like I said, you know, you listeners are the first to hear. I'm going to go take care of my business, and I'm going to do it right. And I want to be the example that God has given me to be. And that's why I said, I'm not going to hang up and go do it and not let you know, let you know later I did it. I'm letting you know from now that that's what God has given me to do, and I'm going to do it. And that's what I encourage all of you to do. If you need to say I'm sorry, then go forth and say I'm sorry. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Show them the love. Let them know, because it's important. That there could help to deliver them from a number of things when they see you make the first step. Yeah. And I'm going to say this before we kind of sign off, Kim. I remember, and ladies and gentlemen, I really want you to listen to this story, because I tell you, I do talk about myself. I remember there were a couple of times, but, you know, he had done something and really made me angry. And the Lord said, I want you to apologize. And I was like, what? I should apologize? He did such and such a thing. He said such and such a thing, but I should apologize? So the Lord said, you just do what I tell you to do. So I said to the Lord, well, you're going to have to give me the words, because I can't figure out what I'm apologizing for, God. And those words are empty if I just say I apologize, and I don't understand what I need to be apologizing for. And the Lord said, you just do what I say. I said, okay. Girl, I was so mad, I was dragging my feet. I was like, oh, I can't believe I have to apologize. So I said to him, I said, you know, I want to apologize. And at that particular moment, God gave me all the words. And I said, I want to apologize for the way I responded to you when you made me angry. I said, because I really should have handled it, and I could have handled it better than I did. And I said, I didn't have to, you know, respond that way, and I'm asking you to please forgive me. And he said, you don't have to apologize. He said, you don't have to apologize. You don't owe me an apology. I owe you the apology. He said, if I hadn't have done what I did, which was stupid, had I not said what I said, which was stupid, you would not have had to come to me. He said, I should have come to you first, and I'm ashamed that I didn't, and you had to come to me first. Oh, that wasn't Stephanie. That was God. That's what I'm saying to you. Yes. He was delivered right then and there of some things.
Yes.
I give God the glory, because he says, Stephanie, just do what I tell you to do. Because in other words, I need to use you for the breakthrough. I need to use you to break him. And while I'm standing there mad because I got to go say something because I got really upset, not that I had to do it, but because I'm the type of person, Kim, if I'm going to do something, girl, I know what I'm doing. It ain't no hesitating. It ain't no third and fourth thoughts. If I'm going to actually do it, I done did all my thinking. So for me to have to actually go forward and say something that I don't know what to say, then I'm mad because I'm like, okay, now I'm going to look stupid. But here we go again. Remove yourself off the table and let God be God.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that's why I say to you, I'm being transparent with you yet again to let you know I'm going to apologize because I don't know in that apology what he will be delivered from. I don't know. I don't know, but I've got to put myself on. I've got to be the lamb. I've got to do my due diligence. I've got to do what God needs me to do and not worry about what he did first. I have to be Stephanie and do what God has sent me to do. So I thank you all for allowing me to be transparent. Yeah. Kim, I love you to death. Thank you so much for just the words, just being obedient to what God has you, you know, to do. And, you know, you didn't hesitate. And I just thank you for just being there. You know, it's just what
and
a blessing.
I just finished. I wanted to
just
something else, too.
Sure.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, because you got me over here all emotional and stuff now, you know, because I realized that, you know, I'm with you. You know, I want to be able to go and just, you know, tell him, you know, if there's anything that I could have done better, you know, that I strive, you know, daily to be a better wife. And, you know, I feel like that sometimes it's not just to the husband, Stephanie. I hear God saying that, you know, somebody might even go to another. We might need to go to some other family members because,
I
said, being a leadership role, you know, now I'm thinking about my daughter, you know, that, you know, that I feel like that there's this division between us, you know, and it's like, Lord, you know, have I not been the best mother that maybe she didn't need the pastor. Maybe she needed her mother. Maybe she's been crying out and doing some of the things that she's doing because she needs me and feels like I'm not there for her. You know, and I'm so busy being about, you know, my father's business, you know, and charity starts at home. And even though she doesn't live here, you know, I'm still her mother in some home, you know, you know. And so I feel like, you know, to my children, to my husband, you know, to my mother, whoever, you know, like you said, we have to be obedient to the Spirit of God because you know, again, for God, to get the glory, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. So, you know, you never know why God has you to say or to do something because look at the outcome of, you know, when you did what God told you to do, how God blessed, you know. So, just, you know, going that extra mile again, you know, saying those extra words or just doing what God tells us to do, you know, he can truly, truly get the glory, you know, out of, you know, our lives, and he can truly bless that marriage on a totally different level. So I bless God for you just allowing me to be on the line tonight. This has truly blessed me more than words can ever, ever express. I'm telling you, I'm just so full of emotions right now. It's like I know that God is really dealing with my heart, and that's what we have to allow him to do is work on the inside out, you know.
That's Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us because that's powerful, Kim. It's really powerful where, you know, we have to now move that into possibly other areas of our life. It doesn't stay contained to the husband necessarily. So I thank you for even sharing that because now you've given the listeners another extension of God. And we always say how broad the word of God is. You know what I'm saying? And this just goes to show you how broad the word of God is. So, you know, I am so blessed tonight to have had you with me. I give God thanks. Please, everybody, go knock on Kim's door, Kim Brooks. Knock on her door and let her know, that's my tagline, knock on her door, knock on her door and let her know how much she was a blessing to you tonight. Don't let this opportunity pass you by and not say thank you, Kim, for the blessing that you gave me tonight in just extending yourself and God's word to me. Please go knock on Stephanie Griffin or Coach for Christian Life and the impactful prayer for him. I see you all are doing it because every day I'm seeing that we get new views, and just leave a note there. Please, please don't hesitate to leave a note there. Those of you who have done so, I thank you. You have blessed this ministry that God has given. I promise you, single or married, you are going to be blessed by listening to this broadcast. It has so many fundamental things that God is giving. I thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for listening. Next week, there won't be any broadcast, more than most likely. God has called me to do something else for the week, and I'll be taking the week off. So if you do, just watch. If you do look out, just watch out. But let me tell you something. Don't let the week go by and not play an old episode. Every episode that we have had, Kim has another episode where she was on before, and now you can go back, and there's a whole week where you can just take your whole pick of everything and listen and be blessed by the other episodes that were there. I thank you so much. I love you to death. Please follow us. Please bless us. Kim was on January 19th, and her topic was attitude. So go back and listen. I love you. Be blessed. Good night.